All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Tesvav, and we are picking up, it's 15, we're picking up Yud Dalet Amud Beis 14b, Amar Rava. Four lines up from the bottom. So remember, again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit, we had a Machlokes, Rav, and Shmuel. In the event that a person goes ahead and sells a field to his friend, and let's keep this easy. I sell a field to Reuven, and it turns out that the field was not mine to sell. So Machlokes, Rav, and Shmuel, what does the buyer have the ability to recapture? So Rav says that the buyer has the ability to recapture the Maos, the value price, as well as the Shevach, the improvements. And Shmuel says he gets the improvements, but he gets the Maos, the purchase price, but not the improvements. And Rav Nachman said that the reason, according to Shmuel, that he does not get the improvements is because it's Mechzei Karibis. It has the appearance of interest. So the Gemara was just trying to bring a whole bunch of brisos to go ahead and support or contradict this idea. So the Gemara seemed to bring a brisa that disagreed with Rav Nachman and seemed to indicate that according to Shmuel, you can go ahead and even collect the amount of money for Shevach. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbah Chama Askinon." We'll say so again. Yud Dalet Amud Beis 14b, four lines up. What are we dealing with over here? Kigon Shegazal Mechavero Sadana Kigon Shegazal Sadana Mechaver Malei Aperos. Talking about a case of where I stole a field filled with fruits from my friend. Va'achal Es Aperos. I consumed the produce. And I dug in the field, I dug up the field, and I put in their pits, cisterns, water cisterns. So literally, I ruined the field. So now when the victim comes to reclaim his money, when he comes to go ahead and collect the principal, he's able to collect it from encumbered properties. But when the victim comes to go ahead and collect peros, he's able to collect it from unencumbered properties. Rabbi Arafuna has a different understanding of the Braisa. Amar Kigon, top of Tesvav Amud Aleph, Shenat Luha Masikin. They were talking about a case where, let's say, Reuven stole the field from Shimon, and then ultimately, again, Gentile tax collectors came to collect money. Reuven showed them the stolen field and urged them to collect that field in satisfaction of the debt. Therefore, in that case, Bandigzal Ligvos Karen, when the victim comes to go ahead and collect the principal, he collects it ultimately again from encumbered properties, but if he comes to go ahead and collect peros, he comes to collect peros, he could collect even from unencumbered properties. Three lines down from the terrible sentence, Rava lo amar karaba. Suppose they said two different understandings of the Brice according to Rava and to Rabba. So Rava did not say like Rava, why? So I'm sorry, Rava lo amar karaba rafuna, hari hi yotze mitachas yado bedina mashma. So Rava won't say like Rabba, why? Because the lashon is that the field is leaving his hands through legal means, as opposed to through masikin, through, let's say, somebody who's extracting the property. And Rabbi Bar Afuna will not say like Rava, why? The lashon of yotzi mitachas yado is a lashon ultimately of what? That the land is leaving. The land is leaving the hand of the nigzal in an intact fashion, as opposed to, again, the interpretation that was given where there were ditches or holes dug in the field. Ravashi says, Litzdadin Katani, you can understand the braisa in two parts. Kigon Shegazal Sadam Echaver Malaya Peros. What's the case? I stole a field from my friend that was filled with produce. And I eat the peros and I sold the field, meaning I sold the stolen field. So I stole the field, I consumed the peros, and I sold the field. So, when the purchaser, now the owner of the field, ultimately goes back and reclaims his field. So when the purchaser now wants to be compensated, so he goes in and he collects the keren from the chasim mishubadim, banigzal ligvos peros, when ultimately, again, the affected party, the victim of the theft, comes to go ahead and claim his produce, govet menechasim benechorin. He's only able to collect four peros from the chasim benechorin, from unencumbered property. So, bein l'rava baravuna, ma'al va'apel. So, I understand both according to Rava and Rava baravuna, isn't this a case of milva alpet? In other words, does this not essentially become like an oral transaction? Look at Rashi, a verbal transaction. Rashi is bein l'rava, bein l'rava. Demukmi gavias karen min ha-gazlon benigzal ha-milva alpehu v'lo tarfam v'shibad. So we'll say both according to Rabba and Rava, who set up this case of where I'm collecting the principal ultimately from the thief, is this not the equivalent ultimately again of a verbal debt? And whenever you have a verbal debt, you at most could only collect from what? Unencumbered property. Never from encumbered property. U'milva alpeh eina gova minichasim v'shibadim. U'milva alpeh cannot collect from encumbered properties, to which the Gemara says, no, hachama askin on what's the case? Kisha amad bedin vahadar zovin. Oh, Rabbi said, the case over here is where the gazlan was already brought to trial, right? He was already found liable, and after the verdict was passed, then he went ahead and he sold the property. So Rabbi says, so once he was found guilty by a beis din, the halacha is what? The judgment is enforceable even against nechasim mishubadim. Now, the incredible chutzpah of such an individual after being found guilty and based and then to go and sell the property, okay. In any event, the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, yachi peros nami, if that's the case, then for the collection of peros, the victim should also be able to collect from nechasim mishubadim as well, if this is after the verdict, to which the Gemara says, kisha amar b'din ala karen v'lo amar b'din ala peros. The cases where he was found guilty, ultimately, again, for the karen, for the principal, but not for the peros. So the Gemara says, well, my paska, I don't understand that answer. Meaning, why we would assume that, Rabbi said, when a person is brought to court, he's brought to court on all counts, both for the principal and the peros. What do you mean, only for the principal, not the peros? To which the Gemara says, stama de milsa, ki tava inish karna tava bereisha. So the Gemara says, the assumption is that when a person is making a claim, he first claims the karen before he claims anything else. Savar Shmuel, Lokiach Megazlan Lesley Shaka. So we'll say, now remember, this entire discussion got started because of Shmuel's interpretation, or I should say Rav Nachman's interpretation of Shmuel. And according to Shmuel, the halacha would be that if I purchase stolen property, the most I am able to recapture is the amount of money I spent on the purchase price. But any shevach, any improvements I made to the property will be unenforceable against the gazlan. So the Gemara says, the Shmuel really say that? The Amrali Shmuel Rav Chinina Bar Shilas, yet Shmuel said to Rav Chinina Bar Shilas, Imlech Mikasov. When, so we'll say, Rav Chinina Bar Shilas was a sofer. So Shmuel said to him, when you are writing a shtar, when you are writing a document, on behalf of someone, in this case again a mocher, so ask him, imloch, ask the mocher, ask the seller, because of shufra, shivcha, uperi. Ask the seller, when he makes it, when the seller is writing the document, is the seller willing to cover shufra? So shufra means the best of his properties. In other words, is the seller willing to back up the transaction by securing the best of his properties? Shivcha, is he willing to compensate the owner of the land, or I should say the purchaser, for any shabach, for any improvements he makes? And Beiri, is he willing to go ahead and is he willing to secure for the purchaser any peros? So we'll say this is all in the Gemara saying over here, Shmuel says, Rav Chinina Bar Shilas, when you're writing a document, so the assumption is a seller is willing to guarantee the sale, which means that in the event that the item I'm selling is taken by my creditor, I'm going to make the purchaser whole. So Shmuel said to Rav Chinina Bar Shilas, ask, Dafka, go out of your way to ask these explicit questions. Are you willing to secure this sale with your best properties? Are you willing to go ahead and compensate the purchaser for any kind of shevach improvements? Are you willing to compensate the purchaser for peros? Ask these questions. To which the Gemara says, B'mai, so what's the case? So we'll say, first of all, what do you see from here? You see from here that Shmuel discusses the possibility of compensating a purchaser, of compensating a purchaser ultimately for what? For shevach, for improvements. To which the Gemara says, well, what are we talking about over here? To which the Gemara says, B'mai, what's the case? If we're talking about a debt, me islay peri, so we'll say, is there any, so remember, if we're talking about a balchov, that the land is being seized ultimately again by a balchov, so we'll say, in that case over here, a balchov only has the right to take the land, doesn't have the right to take the peros. Varmashmuel, balchov goves a shevach, shevach in peros lo. Balchov could seize the improvements, but he can't seize the peros. Ela lav belokeach migazlan. Rather, we must be talking about a case of someone who is purchasing land from a thief. And yet here you see Shmuel explicitly saying that what? That there could be circumstances where the seller slash thief will be chayiv ultimately again for peros and for shevach of the property that he sold. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, hacham asking on what's the case? Kigo sheishol legazlan karko. Both say the cases where the gazlan himself has other forms of property. Amar li Abaye, v'chi mutter lilvos sa'ah b'sa'ah. So we'll say, but if that's the case, that the gazlan has other property, so essentially what you're doing is, you're asking the gazlan here, now we'll say, of course, at the time of the transaction, I don't know he's a gazlan. It's only after the fact I realize that he's a gazlan. So what we're saying now is that he has other properties to back up this sale, to secure this sale. So Gemara says, well, if that's the case, is this not a case of sa'ah b'sa'ah? Now we'll say, we'll get this later on in the Masechta, but very quickly, sa'ah b'sa'ah means that when lending produce, you cannot lend one sa'ah of produce for another sa'ah of produce. So for example, if I lend you a ton of corn, I can't demand a ton of corn in return. Now why is that? Because I've also said there's a problem with potential price fluctuation. If I lend you a ton of corn and it's worth $1,000 now, and when you pay me back it's worth $1,200, that's called ribis. So instead the way we go ahead and we structure transactions is we lock in a financial amount. So I'm lending you a ton of corn worth $1,000, you owe me $1,000. You owe me $1,000. So whether I want to accept $1,000 worth of corn at the repayment or $1,000 worth of currency, that's a side issue, but we lock in amounts. So the Gemara says, is this not a case of sa'ah b'sa'ah? So I'm sorry, b'chi mutra l'ilvo sa'ah b'sa'ah b'mashal b'makom sheish l'karko. So I'll say, ultimately again, are you permitted to lend sa'ah b'sa'ah if the lender, or I should say if the borrower has karko? So we'll say, in this case over here, even if the gazlan ultimately again is going to be chayiv for the shevach, and even if he has land, does that not create a potential ribis issue as well? Amar li hasam halva hachazvini. Two different cases. One case is talking about a loan. One case is talking about a sale. So we'll say, as we've seen this already in yesterday's daf, that we look at loans and sales in two different ways. So says the Gemara, Ikeda Amri, others explain, Amar Rav Yosef, Hacham Ayaskinon, what's the case? Kigon Shekana Miyado. Oh, we'll say the case over here is where the seller slash gazlan is making a kinyan. So we'll say he's making a kinyan to make himself achroi, to make himself responsible and liable for anything that may happen to the property that he has sold. And literally, he's solidifying this achrayas with a kinyan. I don't understand, but how does that bypass the potential ribis issues just because he's making a kinyan? As we will see, there are only real situations of sa'ah sa'ah with ribis that we're concerned about are more in cases of loans. We're not concerned for such a situation over here by a sale. Fine. So now the Gemara goes back and re-examines the price. So gufo, we'll say right by the two dots, about 25 lines up from the bottom, 20 lines up from the bottom. Gufo, Amar Shmuel, Balchov gove es hasheva. So we'll say, remember again, Shmuel said before that a Balchov, a creditor, could go ahead and collect the shevach. So, remember again, just to frame this case in the right way, I'm a thief, I sell land to Reuven. What happens? Now, Reuven goes ahead and, or it doesn't have to be a thief, it could be just a general case. My creditor, the seller's creditor, comes and takes the land from Reuven, the purchaser. So what's the halacha? When the Baal Chov, the Braisa said before, that when the Baal Chov goes in and collects the land, he also could collect the shevach, he also could collect the improvements. So the Gemara says, is that true? Amarava, Teida, Shekach, Kosev, Lamocha, Lokeach. So I'll say, how do we know this is true? We know this is true because of what the seller writes the purchaser in the document of sale. What does the seller write for the purchaser? Ana ekum v'ish fi v'idki v'amrik zvini ilin. So literally, we'll say, these are the shonos. I will go ahead and literally stand by. Rashi says over here, Ishvi is Ishkit, I will silence. Idki, I will be Metaher. Imrik, I will cleanse this cell. Which is another way of saying that I'm selling you this property and I'm going to take care of any claims that may arise against this property. And whatever, again, whatever properties, whatever shevach, I will make sure ultimately, again, look at Rashi, inon va'amalehon v'shivcheihon, these properties, amalehon means any effort you put into it, shivcheihon, any improvements you make, I stand behind. V'tzavi zevina danon, v'kabil iluye. And I will say, ultimately, again, when the Edim sign on this, so the Edim testify, ultimately, again, that the mocher, that the seller, was mekabel, accepted upon himself, any responsibilities, ultimately, again, for any shavach, any improvements to the land. So this is what the seller writes in the shtar. I will say, the fact that the seller writes this in the shtar indicates to us what? That essentially, he's setting this up in a way that should the Baal Chov go ahead and seize the improvements, the seller undertakes upon himself responsibility to go ahead and stand behind the sale. So we'll say the fact that the mocher writes this already tells us that technically speaking, the Baal Chov, the creditor, has the right to sell. In other words, the mocher only guarantees something that the creditor would have the technical legal right to seize. So if the seller is saying, I hereby guarantee this land, and I guarantee the shevach and the improvements, and I guarantee everything else, then what? That tells us that technically speaking, the creditor has the ability to go ahead and seize it. So Amrali Rav Chiya bar Avin the Rava. So Rav Chiya bar Avin said to Rava, Ela me'ata, matana delo ksiv lehachi, well, if that's the case, then in a loan document where this lashon is not written, are you then telling me that again a creditor does not have the ability to seize the shevach? So Amar Le'in said yes. But I don't understand. Should the power of a gift be greater than the power of a sale? Amar Le'in, he said yes. I was supposed to say in this case, then it sounds like if you gift something to someone, the Baal Chov does not have the right to take the shevach. Yet if you sell something to someone, the Baal Chov does have the right to take the shevach. Amar Le'in, yafet v'yafet. Yes, as there are times in which a matana has greater strength than a sale. Amar Rav Nachman, hamas nisim miseyadei the Mar Shmuel, the Mishnah, the Braisa supports Mar Shmuel. So the Gemara says, v'huna chavrin mukim la b'mili achrini. But Huna and his friends, they set up the Braisa dealing with something different. Tisanya, hamocher sada lechaveiro v'hiyotzei mitachas yado. If someone sells a field to his friend, and then ultimately again, the field. So v'himutzeis mitachas yado means that the field is taken from him. So the assumption we're making right now is that the field is taken from the purchaser in satisfaction of some of the debts of the seller. When he collects, he being the purchaser, when the purchaser collects the principal, he's able to collect it from encumbered properties. The shevach gova min chasam min chorin, and shevach, but any appreciation, he's able to collect from the chasam min chorin. Vahuna chavrin mukim la b'mili achrini, and Huna and his friends go ahead and set this up, dealing with a separate discussion, or dealing with something else. Belokeach migazlon. They set this up as dealing with a case of, we'll say, not just a regular sale, but someone who's purchasing something from a thief. Tanya ido, hamocher sada lechaveiro v'yishpicha. So the Braisa says, if somebody goes ahead and sells a field to his friend, and the friend goes ahead and improves the field, uba baal chov v'tarfa, and now what happens? The baal chov, the creditor of the seller, comes and seizes the sold field in satisfaction of a debt that the seller owes to the creditor. Kishu gove, when he collects it, listen to what the Braisa says over here. Ima shevach yosal yitzia, if the improvement is worth more than the expenses, on the Jebos side, for any improvement, there are two amounts. There's the actual amount that the improvement costs the landowner, the home, the purchaser, and there's the amount by which the field itself appreciates. So as a result of those improvements, so if the shevach, if the improvement, or if the appreciation, we'll call it, is more than the expenses, then notel as a shevach mi balakarko, then he goes ahead and he takes the appreciation, ultimately from the owner of the field, vayetzia mi bal chov, and he takes the expenses back from the creditor. V'mayetzia yisera ala shevach, but ultimately, again, if the expenses are worth more than the appreciation, Ein lo ela hotza shir shevach mi bal chov. Then all he has is the value of the appreciation from the creditor. I b'hashmo b'may mokim. So we'll say what you continuously see from all of these cases is what is that you are able to go ahead and get compensation for shevach, for improvements. We'll say, so all this just leads back to the simple interpretation of Rav Nachman of Shmuel. Rav Nachman seems to be pretty unequivocal in Shmuel that there is no situation where you could ever collect shevach and in the event that land is seized from the purchaser. All the Gemara just keeps on continuously pointing out is that the Gemara seems to really indicate otherwise, that you can go ahead and collect from shevach when the property is seized from the seller, to which the Gemara says, my mokim law. So how would Shmuel understand this? If you want to say it's talking about a case where you're purchasing it from a thief, the first part of the price is difficult. Because Shmuel is of the opinion that when you purchase from a thief, so as much as the purchaser can go ahead and get compensated for the keren, for what we call the mos, he does not get shevach. And if you're talking about a debt, kashya resha v'seifa, ultimately both the resha and the seifa are problematic. Damar Shmuel, balchov goves ha-shevach. Because it will say, Shmuel is already on record as saying that a creditor has the ability to collect shevach. So ibay seima, so how do we set up the brisa? So ibay seima, balokiach mi gazlon, kigon sheyesh lo gazlon karka. So one possibility is, could be talking about a case where you purchase it from the gazlon, and the gazlon himself has additional properties through which to guarantee the sale. Inam, the other possibility is Shekhanah Biyando, where the Gazlon took upon himself to secure the debt through a Kenyan. Ibai Seima, Bebalchov below Kasha. So the other possibility is, no, we are talking about a Balchov, and there's no Kasha house, so Khan, we'll say Amad Beis, Khan Beshevach, Hamagia Lekseifayim. Khan Beshevach, Shein Hamagia Lekseifayim. So both say, it depends on the nature of the appreciation of the land. So one case is talking about literally, again, I will say, with improvements or appreciation of the land, really to Maperos over here, where ultimately, again, the produce reaches the shoulders. When the produce reaches the shoulders, what that's another way of saying is, it's already ready to be cut down. Take a look at the top Rashi on the base. It's ready to be cut down, but it still needs the land. Havi leka peros gimurin ve'ein balchov gova osa b'lo yitzia. So we'll say once the produce reaches the shoulders, so that already is like real bona fide produce. And if that's the case, the balchov does not have the ability to seize that. The balchov is entitled to take the land in satisfaction of a debt that the seller owed him. But if the peros is so mature that literally, again, it's up to my shoulders, the balchov does not have rights over that. Masha'in came. Produce that is below the shoulders, so to speak, which is not fully matured produce, that's considered to be part of the karka, and therefore in the Baal Chob, when the creditor seizes the land, he's permitted to take that as well. To which the Gemara said, one second, v'hamaisim b'chol yom, v'kamagvi Shmuel, afilu b'shevach hamagia l'kseifayim. But one second, these things happen all the time, where what? Even produce that is up to the shoulders of the individual, nevertheless, they're still collecting. And Shmuel is even collecting, allowing a Baal Chob to collect it. Lokasha is not a contradiction. Ha de masik be kishir ara ushvacha. Ha de lo masik be ela kishir ara. So we'll say, listen to this. The Gemara says it depends. It depends on the value of the debt that the seller owes. Sometimes the value of the debt is such that the debt is only satisfied by the value of the land together with the peros. In a case like that, the creditor has the right to seize the land and the peros. Masha inkin, sometimes the value of the debt is only the value of the land without the peros. And if that's the case, the creditor is only entitled to take the land and not the peros. If that's the case, ultimately, again, the creditor gives the purchaser the value of the peros because he's not entitled to take that. And ultimately, again, the purchaser goes away. So this makes sense in a case where, let's say again, we'll say this, we actually saw this machlokas referenced earlier, that in the event that I owe someone money, and that debt is secured by land, I, the borrower, do not have the right to offer money instead of the land, meaning the creditor has the right to go ahead and take the land. So I understand in this case over here why the creditor can seize the land, even though, again, I, the purchaser, own the peros, the creditor pays me off for the peros and tells me to go away. They both say, according to the opinion who holds, that when the borrower has money, the borrower has the ability to say, no, I'm not paying you back with the land. Take the money in satisfaction of the debt. In this case over here, let the purchaser, in this case, the purchaser of the land, say to the creditor, if I had the money, I would pay off your debt and tell you to leave my land alone. Hashta deles lizuzi. But now that I don't have money, havli garva da'ara b'shir shavachai. At least give me a parcel of land, the size of the value of my shavach, of my improvements, and of my peros. Hacham asking on what's the case. So what the Gemara is saying over here is, the Gemara makes it sound like the creditor automatically has the ability to essentially buy out the purchaser from the value of his shavach or the peros. Why can't the purchaser go ahead and demand some little parcel of the land in accordance with the value of his peros and his shavach? To which the Gemara says, well, that's the case. Kigon shaso apotiki. The amrale lo yehi l'chapiron elamizur. So the case over here is where the borrower had made this parcel of land an apotiki. Remember, we've learned about apotiki before. Apotiki means is a contraction for apotehekoi. From here, you will collect. So there are situations where if I borrow money from someone, instead of having a lien against all of my property, we choose to consolidate the lien against one of the properties. And we both parties agree that the loan will be collected from here. The here ultimately being, again, the one designated property. So let's say in a case like that, where that's what we're dealing with over here, that's why, again, the creditor has the ability to come in, repossess the land from the purchaser. And again, if there is payros, if there are payros there, then eino chinam, and again, assuming that the value of the debt is equal to the value of the land without the payros, then what? Then the creditor will come in, seize the land, but will have to go ahead and pay the purchaser for the value of the payros. See, Gemara goes right there. Heker basheino shela balacha. That's another interesting case. So let's say now I'm purchasing land. I know it doesn't belong to the purchaser. I know. So we'll say, so it's interesting whether I know that it's stolen or I know whatever. I know that the guy who's selling it, it's hot, right? I know, he's selling it to me from the back of a truck, right? I know that Lamaisa, again, this is not his land to sell. But yet, I buy it anyway. And sure enough, what happens? It's stolen. And the land gets repossessed by the original owner. So we'll say, now the Gemara is going to discuss what's the recourse for knowingly buying stolen property. So, I'm sorry? It is Asr. I mean, it's Asr as lifnei iver. It's definitely not good. Shaila is, am I entitled to repayment? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Moos yesh lo shevach ein lo. Rav says, I have the ability to go to the ganav and get back the money that I paid, but not shevach. So I can get my purchase price, but ultimately, again, not any kind of improvements. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, afilu ma'os elo. No, you don't even get your money back. So we'll say, so Shmuel's of the opinion, he says that you don't even get your money, right? If you knowingly buy stolen property, you don't even get compensated for your money. What are they arguing about? Rav Savar Adam Yodea Shekarka Elo. So we'll say, Rav says that at the end of the day, I know that when I purchase stolen property, I'm not really buying anything. So if I'm not really buying anything, why am I giving Reuven, the seller / thief, money? I'm giving him the money to hold on to. Really what I'm doing is I'm giving him my money to hold on to, and therefore, again, what? When it turns out that the land gets repossessed, I go back to Reuven and say, give me back my money that essentially I gave you to watch. Well, if that's the case, why don't you just go over to Reuven and say, Reuven, can you do me a favor and watch my $1,000? Why do you have to go through this entire process of purchasing stolen property? Savar lo makabel, because I'm concerned that Reuven's not going to watch my property, meaning not going to watch my money. In other words, that people often don't like undertaking the responsibility of watching money. So therefore, I pretend like I'm purchasing a piece of land from knowing full well that this land is going to be repossessed by the truthful owner, and ultimately, again, I'll get my money back from Reuven, that essentially he did a shmira. He watched my money for me. So the Gemara says, okay. So Shmuel says, Adam yodeh shekarka elo. Shmuel says, everyone knows that when you're buying stolen property, you're not buying your own property. And in other words, that everyone knows also, the sale's not good. I'm not really purchasing anything. So what's the pshat? But yet I gave Reuven money. The gamar v'nasan l'shum matana. So Shmuel holds that when you go ahead and you knowingly purchase stolen property, effectively what I'm doing is I'm giving Reuven, the seller / thief, a matana. I'm giving him a gift. So the Gemara says, well, there are easier ways to give gifts. So why don't you just say you're giving it to him as a gift? Sometimes it's embarrassing for people to receive a gift. So therefore, again, it's easier for me to go ahead and give it to him under the guise of a purchase. So I know I'm not purchasing land because I know this land is stolen. But yet I want to get him the money. So I'm giving him the money as a gift. That's what I will say. So according to Rav, when the land is repossessed, Rav says, I have the ability, either purchaser, I have the ability to go to Reuven, the seller slash thief, and get my money back, according to Rav, because I gave it to him as a pikadon. I knew it was stolen. I know the transaction is not good. I gave him my money to watch. Shmuel says, I can't get my money back. Why? Because since I knew it was stolen, therefore what? Essentially, I gave it to him as a matana. Why not just give it to him as a matana straight out? People are sometimes embarrassed to accept gifts. So I said, one second. V'ha pligi b'echad azimba. Rav and Shmuel already argued this case once before. The Itmar was to listen to this case. Hamekadesh hasachoso. If one goes ahead and betroths his sister, so Bosai. So let's say again, Reuven gives his sister kesef kiddushin. He gives her money to effect kiddushin. Listen, obviously, you know we paskin kiddushin tovsin bechadei lavin. Right. So we paskin that if you marry someone who's prohibited to you through a lav, that marriage still works. So a Kohen marries a Grusha, right? Yisrael marries a Mamzeres. So those cases, it's Aser, but Kiddushin works. We don't pass like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that it doesn't work, but we hold that it does work. But by ultimately, again, Chi of Misa, it does not work. So if a man tries to Mekadesh his sister, which is incest, which is punishable by death, ultimately such a marriage is ineffective. But what happens if Reuven gives his sister Kesef Kiddushin? What happens in such a case like that? Meaning, what we're asking over here is a very practical question. What happens with the money? Right? We ask, what happens with the money? So the Gemara says, Rav Amar Ma'os Chosrin. So Rav says, the money goes back. In other words, Reuven gets back his money. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, Ma'os Matana. Shmuel says, no, it's a gift from Reuven to his sister. Rav Amar Ma'os Chosrin. Rav says the money goes back to Shmuel. Why? Excuse me, I'm sorry. Rav says the money goes back to Reuven. Why? Adam Yodeshin Kedushin Tovsim Bachos. So, person knows that he can't marry his sister. V'gamar V'nasan L'shem Pikadon. And therefore what? Therefore he goes ahead and he gives this money to his sister as a Pikadon to hold on to. And therefore again to hold on to until he calls it back. V'nemel L'shem Pikadon. Why doesn't Reuven just ask his sister, sister, do you mind? Just watch my money for me. Savar lo mekabla mine. Because she's concerned that she will not accept the responsibility to go ahead and what? She will not accept the responsibility to go ahead and watch the item. Or excuse me, she will not accept the responsibility to watch the item. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, Ma'os Matana. Shmuel says, no, that when Reuven tries to Mekadesh his sister, that money is a gift. Adam Yodesh and Kiddushin Tovsin Bachos, so a man knows that he can't marry his sister. The Gamar Venas on the Shum Matana, and therefore he's giving it to her for the purpose of a Matana. The name of him is Shum Matana. Why doesn't he just say, sister, I'm giving you a gift? Ksefa le milsa. Because it's embarrassing for people to get gifts, right? People aren't always comfortable receiving gifts. Therefore, again, he does it under the ruse of Kiddushin. So the Gemara will say, so again, Rav and Shmuel already argued this point by Mekadesh Esachoso. So why do they have to argue it again over here by buying stolen property? I'll tell you why, says the Gemara Tzvicha. We need both cases. Why? Di'i itmar baha. Baha kama Rav of the Inshidiyah Mataranz l'nechura. So we'll say, so I would have thought, again, you need it in the case, ultimately, again, of, I would have thought, you need the first case of the stolen property. Why? Because since it's not common for people to give gifts to people who are not their family, therefore, again, that's where Rav says a shita. Agape achoso, ema modi leilu Shmuel. But perhaps, again, when it comes to the case of achoso, which is a common gift-giving scenario, Rav would agree with Shmuel that Reuven doesn't get his money back. Rather what? Rather it becomes a matana to the sister. Ve'i itmar b'hach. And had it just said the case of achoso, b'hach kamar Shmuel, that's where Shmuel says that the money is a gift. Ava b'ha ema modi l'rav. But maybe in the case of buying stolen property, he agrees with Rav that it's a pikadon. Therefore, again, Tzricha. So we'll say, so bottom line is the cases are dissimilar. So because they are dissimilar, therefore they both have to be stated. So to which the Gemara says, Bein the Rav, the Amr Pikadon, Bein the Shmuel Dara Matana, Hai La'ara B'mai Kanochis, Uperos Hachi Achil, Hechi Achil. So we'll say, see, here's the Shaila. everybody's focused on what happens with the money. When the rightful owner comes along and repossesses the field, so does Reuven, the purchaser, get his money back or not? So Rav says yes, Shmuel says no. We have a more fundamental question. When Reuven buys that land, so how is he, if he knows that it's stolen, how is he able to go and live on that land, right, work the land, eat the peros from the land? Is that not stolen property? To which the Gemara says, Savar, because Reuven says to himself, Echos la'ara vi'avid ve'echol begavei, kihechi daha ka'avid ihu. Because Reuven says to himself, you know what, the truth is, I'm just going to do the same thing that the Ganav would have done had he had possession of the field, work the field, enjoy the peros. Lechi osi marei da'ara, zuzoi nahavu. It's nothing to worry about, meaning when the owner of the land comes, of course I'm going to go ahead and return it to him. As I will say, it's incredible, again, always incredible timing of the daf. In other words, that what happens? What does the Gemara say? What do? People rationalize, right? So what's Reuven's rationalization? Reuven says, look, the truth is, my usage of the land, I'm not doing anything additional than would have happened had I not come into this picture. Had I not come into this picture, what would have happened? The seller would have worked the land, would have enjoyed the peros, recognizing that what? One day the owner of the land is going to come and what? Reclaim his land. I'm just going to simply continue doing that which was done before I stepped into this picture, recognizing that one day the owner is going to come, reclaim the land. I'm okay. Why? Because I'm going to go back then to the seller thief and get back my purchases. Now, listen, I want to be clear. This is usur, right? This is usur. This is unequivocally usur, right? But yet, again, it's amazing how when you say it, right, when you say it, it begins to sound kind of okay. You know, certainly it's not so bad. You know, if you, that's the chap over here. The idea over here is that he rationalizes this use that he's not really doing anything additional other than what's done already. So the Gemara says, the Rav Damar Pikadon. So the Gemara says, the Rav Damar Pikadon. Pikadon. The Shmuel Damar Matana. Matana. So we'll say, so essentially, again, what will happen with the money will depend according to Rav or to Shmuel. According to Rav, he'll get his money back ultimately because it's a Pikadon. According to Shmuel, of course, he won't get his money back because it's considered to be a Matana. Amar Rava. Rava says, Hilchasa. We'll say the halacha is that when you purchase land from a gazlan, when you purchase land from a thief, yeshlo ma'os v'yeshlo shevach. We'll say the halacha is that when you purchase land from a thief, and the Gemara is saying halacha l'maisa over here, when you purchase land from a thief and then that land is stolen, that I purchase land from a thief, the land is seized back by the original owner. When I go back to the thief for compensation, yeshlo ma'os, I am entitled ultimately again to my money, my purchase price. I am also entitled to compensation for any improvements I made to the land. And that's true even if what? Even if the seller slash thief did not guarantee the improvements at the time of the sale. We'll say if at the time I purchased the property, I knew that it was stolen, but I still bought it. Ma'os yeshlo shevach shevach inlo. I still have the right to go ahead and get back my purchase price, but I do not have the right to claim improvements. Achrayis toz soferhu bein shtari havaa bein shtari mekach umemkar. And I will say, when it comes to achrayis, remember achrayis means a lien against real property. We assume that every document has, or every transaction automatically includes a lien against real property. That is true whether, again, it's a loan, or that is true whether it's a sale. And the omission of a lien clause, we ascribe to scribal error, and not to a willful omission of the parties. We'll say, now this is very important. So this is three important pieces of halacha l'maisa. So number one, if you go ahead and you purchase stolen property, you didn't know it was stolen, but it turns out that it was stolen, you have the right to go back to the thief, seller, and claim again, ma'os, your purchase price, shevach improvements. If you knowingly purchase stolen property, you have the right to reclaim your purchase price, but no right to reclaim improvements. And we assume that every single transaction, a loan or a sale, always has a lien against real property, right? And the omission of that lien clause is attributed to scribal error, which is important, which means that if you want to waive, now parties have the right to waive the real property encumbrance, but in order to do that, what has to be done? It has to be explicitly written in the shtar. If it's written in the shtar that the parties to the transaction agree that there is no lien against real property, then enochinami, that right is waived. Well, so we'll stop over here for today. Let me just share with you a short thought for Erev Yom Kippur.